Let us continue with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. May thine image be restored within us through the power of thy word and the teaching of the gospel of the kingdom. It is such a blessing to blend our voices and sing of our Savior, the fount of love, and call him our own, that we can belong to thee and surrender all unto thee. And it is in Jesus' name that we gather. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. It is in his name that we greet one another, and in his name that we trust and believe for salvation. And to his name be all praise, thanks, honor, and glory, all attention, all of our love, all of our service. For thou art worthy to receive honor and glory, power and blessing, wisdom and strength forever. Amen. Let us turn together to read from the Gospel according to St. Mark. Chapter 5. With the Lord's help, I'd like to read the account of Jairus and his daughter, beginning with verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21 to the end.
Sveto evanđelje po Marku, peta glava, početak na 21. stihu.
And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Maybe all.
Blessed Redeemer, the Holy One, the righteous God, we assembled ourselves together once again. We come before thee, Father, on bended knees. We seek thee, we need thee, and we love thee. We need thy presence. We need thy guidance. We need thy assurance. We need thy mercy and grace and love. So, Father, we ask thee, be merciful unto each and every one of us, even this afternoon hour. Be in our midst, be our guide, be in our lives. And may we, dear Father, follow thee and walk with thee and obey thy holy and precious will, thy commandments. May we stay close to thee, and may we never turn aside, and may we never go back, but may we always stay on this narrow and righteous pathway that leads to heaven. We are weak and feeble, Father. We need thy help. So we ask thee, Father, be with us every day of our lives. Protect us from all harm and evil. For we know that our enemy is trying very hard to destroy us. He would like to take us back where we came from. But Father, we trust in thee, thy power, thy might. So we ask thee, Father, protect us. Abide with us. Give us strength and faith, endurance and patience. And most of all, Father, may we have thy love, the love of thy Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. May we walk in love. May we love one another, and may we love thee, our dear Father. Father in heaven, we ask thee this afternoon hour to bless the words that were read this afternoon as thou hast blessed them this morning. Bless thy servants, Father, that will be speaking, and that we would all be attentive to thy holy message, that we would all listen and accept the beautiful message, the words of life, and that we may live by them, that we would carry them every day, every night, everywhere we go, that we would meditate upon them, and that we would remember all that thou hast done for us, that we would remember the suffering of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, how he willingly came down on this earth to suffer and to die for our sins, our mistakes and iniquities that we have committed.
Father, we know that we cannot ever thank thee enough. But Father, we willingly come to thy house of prayer when we can, and we need to try and make effort to be in thy house, house of prayer, where we can together worship thee and have the fellowship with one another. Father in heaven, we have hope that one day we will all be together in those heavenly mansions. That is our hope, and that is the promise which thou hast given unto us through thy Son, Jesus Christ. So we live in this hope, and we need faith, Father, and we need love. So grant all these things unto us, Father, and that we would be faithful unto thee as long as we live on the face of this earth. We also promise, Father, that we will be faithful unto thee, that we will walk and fulfill thy commandments, thy precepts. But Father, we need thy help, so help us, for we are weak, and many times we forget thy love and mercy and what thou hast done for us. Many times we disobey thee, Father. Many times we fail before thee. For all the weaknesses, mistakes, sins, perhaps that we have done, we ask thee, Father, be merciful unto each and every one of us, for we all have failed thee. For all the mistakes, Father, we ask thee, be merciful unto us and forgive us. And may we, Father, listen to the sweet voice when we are reminded, when we are admonished through thy word, to a brother or sister, to the message, to the prayer. May we always listen to thy will and thy holy commandments. So remind us, Father, daily, and may we open thy word daily, read it, meditate upon it, and live by it. This is our plea and our prayer. Father, we ask thee once again, bless our gathering, bless us richly, bless the reading, and bless thy servants that will be speaking. And that may thy message go forth, and may it be to thy honor and to thy glory, and may we all be edified through it. This we humbly ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus teaches us in his word and in his message that we are to learn of him, for he is meek and lowly in heart, to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. As we read of Jesus Christ and his miracles that he performed and the way that he approached mankind, we learn about him and we desire, when we see the beauty of his example, to follow as well. In this passage, we see Jesus' love for these people that were in need. We see his willingness to help those who are in need. And we see his power on display through his word. And this, in a way, is a spiritual gift and blessing that even believers are to partake of. The word says that the God has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit that is very prevalent in this world, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power and love and a sound mind. And that sound mind, one of the applications of that is willingness to obey the Lord, willingness to serve. And Jesus puts these three things on display for us: to learn of him, and then to follow him. As Jesus is going about teaching, large crowds are gathering about him, and someone comes to him that has a reputation. He's a ruler of the synagogue. We think about rulers of the synagogue and those who are associated with being in charge of the Jews' religion, and we think these are people that are generally rejecting Jesus' teaching, who are, in general, they are going to be people that have nothing to do with Jesus. They want to accuse him. They want to find fault with him. But he is coming to him with a need, and he begs for help. What would man do? Would he put this man in a category and in a silo? Say, you're one of those kind of people. I've got other things to do. Probably. Probably people do that very quickly. Because we've got limited time. We have only so many hours in the day. We've got to get things done. But Jesus hears the plea. And he says, I'll go. And he follows him to his house. How many times did Jesus say, I will go? When it was time for him to come upon this dusty ground, this dusty earth, and to live among men, he was willing to go. After his Sermon on the Mount, where he taught his disciples about the kingdom of God and how he wanted to order their lives, he was approached by a leper who said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And touched him, healed him. Then he was approached by another man with a reputation, a centurion. And he asked him to come to his house. Something that Peter was scandalized for, going to a centurion's house. But Jesus said, I will go. Jesus was willing. Oh, that we would have the heart of Jesus to see the need, to be willing, to be available. Jesus was even willing to spend time with those that were rejecting him. When they arrested Jesus, he said, I was with you daily in the temple and in the synagogues, teaching. Why didn't you come then? He had spent his time. He had devoted himself. He was willing. And even as we sang in the hymn about Christ's blood that flowed, with the glow of his love from the cross, he was willing. He was willing to embrace his Father's will. He was willing to suffer and take our due punishment and surrender and give up his life for us, that we might be cleansed. The willingness of Jesus is displayed in every interaction that he had with men and women. And he wants us to follow him with a willing heart. He wants that to be a hallmark of our service. Not that we would do service begrudgingly or to get some kind of reward, because we see Jesus here. Mankind would kind of think, oh, here's one of the ones from the synagogue who needs some help. Now here's my opportunity to help him, and then I'll get an ally, and then he'll be able to convince people in the synagogue. No, no, no. He doesn't even want them to say anything about it at the end of the story. That's not his motive. But he's willing. And that's something to search out our hearts. What's our motive? Why do we do things? Is it from a willing heart? Jesus says that the one who receives the word in a willing and good heart is like one who receives the word of God upon good ground, and it will bring forth fruit. It'll be a powerful example of his kingdom to this world. In the Old Testament, we read about willingness. Isaiah chapter 1, there's a verse that speaks about cleansing, and we love and that beautiful verse where the Lord is speaking through Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Something that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Is the Lord looking for willingness in my heart? Jesus gave me that example. And yes, he is. Day by day, we have a choice. We have a choice to follow our will or surrender our will and follow the Lord. That choice takes place at the cross. You know, we have our will and we have God's will. It's at the cross where we learn from Christ how to surrender. Our dealings are often concerning this life and this earth. But God's will is far greater, and his plan for our lives and his intention for his people and his purpose for his church transcend our experience and our gain on this earth. So he says, he invites us to come to that cross, follow him, where we'll learn Christ's willingness. Even in the book of the law in Deuteronomy, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Choose. From a willing heart, choose, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may be ours through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the length of our life. It's beautiful to see the fulfillment of that in Jesus Christ. And the new life, the new birth that he has brought through his teaching. May the Lord give us the willingness that Christ showed us here, where he was willing to go and to help. And he also shows a love, which is also the spirit that God has given to us, a spirit of love. How many times we see in the Gospels Jesus' love and compassion for those who need him. Those who need him and know it, and those who need him and don't, just as much. He loved them. He loved his disciples. And he stayed with them to the end. Even Judas, who he showed kindness, even unto the end, until he left. And it was dark. He is the fount of love that we sang about. And he is our own. When we come to him in this great need that we have, and he sees and knows exactly who we are, and what we are capable of doing. Just as he saw the crowds that tarried with him for a few days, and he had compassion on them. It says in one of the accounts where he feeds many that the first thing that he did when he saw them, he said, they are like sheep that have no shepherd. And so he took time to teach them. He sees people who are going about life without the guidance and direction that they need. And he sees that they're going the wrong way, like sheep without a shepherd, in disarray. And so in his love, he was willing to take time to teach them his word. And that is what the word is to us. It is the voice of our shepherd instructing us and teaching us how to follow, teaching us how to order our lives so that we can be useful in his kingdom and that we can even enter his kingdom. It is the love of God that has even sent his only begotten Son, that he would be pitiful and have mercy upon us, that we would even know it's time to believe, to repent, to be baptized, so that we can enter into the kingdom of God and be his sons and his daughters. This is the gospel of the kingdom that he came to share in love and preach and teach with his words, through his actions, and his great love. Oh, that we would also have the love of Jesus Christ that's revealed when he sees one who might be perceived even as his enemy in need. None of us could do that. It is an act of faith. It is an expression of faith, of the Lord working within us and how much we need him, just like every branch on the tree needs the vine, needs that source of love, that fount of love that we sang about. There was a story that's told of a woman who experienced this love. While Jesus was eating at someone's house, she came in and without a word, she began to weep and express her love to her Lord. Jesus told the host of that dinner, he who loves, who has been loved much, loveth much. What do we need to motivate and to inspire that kind of love? But to see the truth of how much we have been forgiven, how much we have been loved by the Lord, and be genuine about that, and then nothing is too hard. Oh, that the Lord would grant the grace to me and to all of us, that we would follow Jesus' example of love and see the examples that are given in the scripture of love being poured out and expressed to the Lord, and follow, be faithful to him. Jesus goes with Jairus and is interrupted, as it were, by an event that takes place, but it is not an interruption. Jesus knew exactly what was taking place. He had known that one had touched him, with faith, and it's interesting, this power that's expressed, power of the Lord to heal, to provide that which she was needing. It was transferred without a word. This morning we read a scripture that talks about husbands being won over by wives without a word, but by the godly conduct and the example. There's great power, and it doesn't always have to be spoken. But this woman believed, and the faith was expressed by her reaching out to touch him. That was when she was healed. And Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." May we have the faith that we not only believe, but that we would act upon what we know is true, what we know is good, what Jesus has taught us. Because it was not until that moment that Jesus immediately knew that virtue had gone out of him. And the flow of strength and health and wholeness was opened. Faith that was put into action, that is no different from her action, but one and the same, because Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague." For 12 years she had suffered and tried many other things to no avail. There may be many other methods and advice that men and women may give you, but this example of Jesus defining faith is the example that will be helpful to us, where we will find the strength and help in our time of need. And finally, the Lord comes to the near to the house, and someone comes and says, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And Jesus' words to Jairus was, "Be not afraid, only believe." So he took with him three of the disciples and Jairus, and they went in. And after being scorned by the people that were there, sent them all out, took just the three disciples and the mother and the father, and said something to the young girl, who they said was dead. Jesus said that she sleepeth. Jesus said the same thing about Lazarus, who was in the grave for 4 days. He would wake him out of sleep. But Jesus says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." The parents were probably wishing, and may have even spoken the words, for her to get up. But it did not make a difference. What made the difference was the word of the Son of God, who said, "I say unto thee, damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Jesus says many times in the Gospels, over 130, "I say unto thee." Words of authority. Words that we should take notice, that should make us sit up, and that we can have confidence in. He says things about the end of the world. He says things about, with this phrase, "I say unto thee," or "I say unto you." He says things about the final judgment. He says things about the observations of his daily life with his disciples. And he says things about commands, about how they are to live. "I say unto thee." And And that is where our power is found. The words of Jesus Christ. You see, this girl was lying there dead. Isn't it marvelous what took place? Did you ever think, how did she hear him? How could she respond? Nothing but a work of God. Nothing but the words of Jesus Christ could make this difference. And so when the word of God says that those who receive Jesus Christ, who believed upon him, were able to become the sons of God, not by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by the will of God, we see the word of Jesus Christ is powerful. When Jesus says something about the end of the world and about the judgment that will come and who will be spared, when he says, I say unto thee, that is what counts. When he gives commands about how we are to live and to order ourselves, that is what counts. The word of authority that comes from Jesus Christ. When we, in faith, hear his word and respond, not by any goodness of ourselves, but it is God who works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure, we become a very peculiar people. Very different, set apart. And we become the way God wants us to be. When we hear him say, I say unto thee, when we hear the voice of the shepherd, and we his sheep hear his voice, and as his sheep follow him. He makes us that we can shine as cities upon a hill to demonstrate the order and the mercy and the goodness and the truth of God through these vessels of clay. But the word and command of Jesus being followed in faith demonstrates to the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he is alive, and because only by his help and by his strength, only by his willingness to live within us, could we ever even consider his words and follow with all of our heart. May the Lord give us the heart of willingness, the heart of love, and to take the word, which is the power of God. Not that we have any power, but we would avail ourselves of the power of commandment of Jesus Christ. That's how we can be an example. That's how we can demonstrate and share with others about who the Lord is. May the Lord work in our hearts. May we follow his example as he has given it. Amen.
When this ruler came to Jesus, he came with faith, hope, and love. He believed, he had hope, he had love for God, he knew that Jesus can heal him. As soon as he saw him, he fell before his face. He did not ask him, can you? He asked him to heal his daughter that was at the point of dying. As Jesus lingered with this woman that touched him, took some time, he healed her too. And as he was speaking, he says, the servants came for the house. He says, too late. Don't even bother the master. It's done. It's over. She's dead. I do not know what went through the mind of this ruler of the synagogue. Was he thinking, if Jesus wouldn't heal this woman, maybe he could have gotten there sooner? Every second would count. She was at the point of dying. He did not make it. It was too late. Did this Jairus lose that hope and faith that he had? Perhaps for a moment he did. She was dead. It's done. It's over. Where's the hope? Where's the faith? Someone is dead. It's done. But he did not. If he did lose the faith and hope, he must have been just for a moment. He diminished. He went away. But he did not lose the love. Now we notice here that Jesus, without Jairus saying anything to him, Jesus tells him, be not afraid, only believe. Why would he tell him that? Perhaps he was afraid because perhaps he lost the faith. His daughter is dead. That's why Jesus encourages him and says, only believe. Bring his faith and hope back. So as he walked into the room, he says, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. They laughed at him. Everyone knows when someone dies. The heart stops. It's finished. It's done. Everyone knows this. People in those days, they knew it too. When he says she's sleeping, they laughed at him. They're making fun of Jesus. Little did they know, she was only sleeping. Jesus, the power of God, the power of Jesus can raise the dead. As brother mentioned, we know the story of Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. There is nothing impossible with God. That's the reason he chased them out, those that did not believe. But he brought in the parents to renew their hope and faith in him. Brought him in and brought James, Peter, and John. He always brought them together into the room. And he tells his brother, mentioned, I say unto thee, arise. And he took the damsel by the hand. It's something about touching. Even Jairus said, can you come and lay your hands on her that she may live? Many times Jesus touched those that were ill. It's the connection. This woman that had issue of blood 12 years, she came, she believed. She didn't just believe and say, well, I'll be healed, I can go back. She wanted to touch just even the garment. Something about touching, feeling, having that connection. You know the story of Naaman when he had the leprosy. He was hoping that Elisha would come and pray, lift his hands and touch his wounds, his leprosy. Touch it, and then he would be healed. Not jump in the river. That did not make any sense to him. He wanted to be touched. Touch the place where I have the leprosy. Then I will be healed. Jesus spoke sometimes just the word. Go, thy faith had made thee whole. Sometimes he touched. Sometimes he anointed the blind man's eyes with the spittle. Different ways. The important thing is that Jesus can and does heal. He can do physically, but more yet spiritually. When we come to the house of God, we do not come to be healed with a physical ailment. We want to be whole, definitely, but when we come here, when we touch this word of God, we want to be healed spiritually. That is our hope, our faith, and may we have the love to keep it. keep the faith and the love so that we can all be together with our Heavenly Father. May God bless His word. Amen.